Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to have a conversation. We pray and ask, Lord, that you be in the midst of us and that you inspire us and teach us something new. Draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning and welcome to another episode of What's the Message? I am your host, Claudia Allen, and I am so excited to be with you this morning. Unfortunately, listen, my co-host, the commander-in-chief, the editor-in-chief, the one and only Carmela Monk Crawford, she is out today, but that is all right. We are still going to keep the party bumping, all right? So today I am very excited about this conversation because I think that it is a critical one and a relevant one, particularly because there have just been so many things happening in the news as of late. I'm sure so many of you heard about the shooting that took place in Boulder, Colorado. I can't overemphasize the kind of pain and exhaustion that I think all of us are feeling around these mass shootings, whether or not they are attached to race. Obviously, when you have violence that is a hate crime, obviously that is a particular and a very different kind of trigger. But whenever you just have a shooting of any kind whatsoever, it really tugs at the human heart. And so we really just want to continue to pray for the officer who lost his life out there in Colorado, and all those who have been affected by this particular act of violence. But there has also been something else that is filling the interwebs, and that is the drama of relationship coach, whatever you want to call him, Derrick Jackson. Yes, this is the What's the Message podcast, and we need to understand what is the message behind Derrick Jackson's drama, because it's a lot. And for those of you who may not be familiar with Derrick Jackson, for several years now, he has kind of used his social media platform as a space to speak to women about the kinds of men that they should be with, the kinds of men that they deserve, the kinds of men that they should avoid and stay away from. And he particularly talks about how, you know, Black men don't cheat, and that you should not be with any man who is a mature, grown man who knows the Lord. That engages in this kind of infidelity and behavior. As of late, his various rendezvous with women have become exposed. Not only has it been exposed that he himself has had a variety of moral failings for an extended period of time, but it has also now been exposed that Derrick Jackson has a whole entire wife. Now, saints, I don't know about you. I'm not a Derrick Jackson disciple. However, I have seen and followed his videos for some time, and he has never shared on his platform at any point that he even had a girlfriend, let alone a whole wife, let alone whole children with this whole wife. And it is very fascinating to me how you can have someone who positions themselves as a leader, an expert, a coach on all things relationships, all things family, particularly healthy relationships, healthy families, healthy marriages, and that individual does not share their share at least having a family, if you want, at least for privacy reasons, if you don't want your wife and children on social media, or they don't want to be on social media, that's one thing. But for you as the husband or the house band of that family to not at any point at least mention that you have them, I think is they're telling very problematic. And I think one of the things that I found most harmful or hurtful was he and his wife's apology. This is where you kind of meet his wife for the first time. She came out on video, and the two of them kind of come together, and he makes an apology of what he thinks is an apology. And she kind of shares how, even though she did remove herself for a period of time, she noticed changed behaviors. And she felt as though he further deepened his relationship with God. And so because of that, she felt it appropriate to return to the marriage and to continue on journeying alongside him as his wife. No judgment there whatsoever. What I think is going to be critical for our conversation today is for us to really begin thinking through and talking through, what does it mean to move beyond a failure? What does it mean to experience failure and to make a genuine reconnection to God and actually move forward in one's life towards the kind of purpose-filled, God, Holy Spirit-filled purpose that God's given you to do. And I am so excited about the guest that we have with us today, who is going to really talk us through and help us figure that out. We have none other than U.S. Navy Chaplain Adrienne Townsend Benton. She is a dynamic international speaker with global impact, who has inspired audiences with her spirit-filled messages of hope, inspiration, and victory. An international speaker, trainer, and facilitator, Chaplain Townsend Benton is in awe of a God who has called her to non-traditional ministry to show how Christ is real and relevant to the needs of people in everyday living. Chaplain Benton holds an associate's in early childhood, a bachelor's in elementary education and psychology, a master's in curriculum and instruction, and the Master of Divinity degree from the Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary at Andrews University. Chaplain Benton served as an associate dean of women on the campus of Andrews University and as an associate minister on the pastoral staff of Andrews University's New Life Seventh-day Adventist Fellowship. Adrienne and her husband, Theron, reside in South Carolina and revel in the opportunity to bring hope and the light of Christ to precious souls in the dark corners of life. This is her mission and one that she is privileged to embrace daily. Chaplain Benton is a seasoned mentor and connector and a gifted international motivational speaker since 2003. She also is an advocate for suicide prevention, and she is an Amazon best-selling author and workshop enthusiast. And we are so excited to have her, because not only that, but guys, she is also the first SDA female chaplain in the United States Navy. I am so excited to welcome Chaplain Benton, the author of this recent journal, A Greater Force Than Failure, Intentional Time with God. Welcome to the podcast, Chaplain Benton.
Thank you so much. I am excited to have this conversation with you today. Thank you.
No problem. Now, you know, Chaplain Benton, I secured you as a guest for the podcast about your journal. Yes. I think it was what, January or February?
Yes, January.
So Derek was not a problem back then. And so it is so fascinating that the week that we have you here yes. to talk about a force greater than failure, yes. That we have someone in our, you know, social media, mainstream internet spaces who has now experienced a great failure. And not only him, but the week before that, we were talking about Kirk Franklin. Right. And so one of the things that I would love to hear you speak on, we talked about this before starting the show. What does it look like to give a real apology? Right. Like when you have made a failure and you happen to be a public figure of some sort and you feel as though you have to make some kind of public apology, where does that come from? And what should that apology look like?
Awesome. I love that. So let's take it one step back and start with trust. Okay. Trust is the basic foundation of all human connections, from our chance encounters to the people that we call friends to our most deepest relationships, right? Yeah. We trust people based on a few assumptions. If I'm going to become friends with you and then we're going to become BFFs, I'm trusting. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that number one, if I need Claudia, Claudia is somebody that I can turn to.
Right.
I'm assuming and I'm trusting that if I need Claudia's support, that Claudia will give me her support and Claudia will be happy about it.
Yeah.
I am also assuming that you will be someone that I can get comfort and relief from as you are supporting me. So many times we look at public figures and we perceive that the benefits that we get is that there's someone that we're getting information from, or we're getting some sort of happy, euphoric feeling that enables us to feel like I can trust this person. I mean, think about this. Mm-hmm. How many people do you know online? How many people have become your Facebook friends? You see their lives, you watch their pictures, you've never met the person, but there's something about that interaction, just viewing them, and makes you feel like you know them, and you meet them finally and you feel like, well, man, I can talk to Claudia because I've watched her on Facebook. I've seen her videos, and right? Okay, so when we have these moral failures of sort, or we have these failures, we tend to feel disappointed because we feel as though somehow the benefit that we perceive that we were receiving from trusting them in some way, that has now been taken away, right? Mm. So what are we looking for? We're looking for those individuals now to somehow compensate the fact that we are disappointed and have received this loss from them, right?
Yeah.
Compensate in some way. And so I was reading a phenomenal book recently, and I'll get into my book soon. But Gary Chapman has this phenomenal book called The Five Languages of Apology, right? And Gary Chapman says that in order for you to finally get to the place where you're healed and you're able to move forward, you have to, one, understand how you best receive an apology and how it's best for you to give it. You do not give an apology based on you, you give it based on what people need. But in order to know what you need, you have to know how you best receive it. Okay, so for some people, all you have to do is say, I'm sorry. If Claudia says, I'm sorry, I got it, good to go. Claudia knows that she did something that wasn't cool, we're good. For some people, that's good enough. For some people, they need you to say, I'm sorry, and what you did. When you tell me what you did, then I know, okay, but being authentic, she can clearly state to me what went wrong here. For other people, that's not good enough. They need you to say, you're sorry, what you did, and what you plan to do in the future so that that does not happen again.
Yeah.
And Gary Chapman says, when you understand how you best receive an apology, then you can speak clearly with what you need when you're in a situation of conflict, right? Mm-hmm. So for myself, I wish that I was number one. I wish that all people had to do was say that they're sorry and I would be fine. But because I've lived a lot of life, because I've had a lot of things happen to me, I'm number two. I need you to tell me that you're sorry and why you're sorry. So if you and I have a situation and you say to me, Adrian, I'm sorry, I know how to say without being mean, without being nasty, without going below the belt, I know how to clearly just simply say, wow, Claudia, you know, thank you so much. What are you sorry for? Okay. Many of us, we stay burdened up because we don't know how to communicate what we really need. So when it comes to now, you know, what should we expect from these individuals? So in the journal is a greater force than failure. And the journal deals with those failures that have incurred in our lives, not that somebody did to us, but the ones that we sure enough did ourselves, right?
Yeah.
Number one, accept responsibility. accept responsibility. It's very hard to get over something that you don't accept responsibility for, right? So for us personally, but then also, what are we looking for? We're looking for that individual to say, yes, I did it.
Yeah.
Okay. Next, establish lessons learned. God always gives us an opportunity to decipher not just what happened, but how it happened and how it could have been avoided. And what's the lesson that you learn? Sometimes I've had to learn the lesson of you talk without listening. You need to stop, let the person fully say what they're intended to say before you butt in and interrupt them and say and respond to what you think they were trying to say to you. Okay. Next, you are to develop a plan B. So we want to hear from the individual that they acknowledge that what they did was wrong. We want to hear that they acknowledge that there were lessons that they learned. Now we want to hear, well, what you going to do different so that this don't happen again, right? and the same thing for us. You know, God gives us an opportunity to develop to do a reset and develop a new pathway. And then finally, try again, right? So we want to know. So not just what are you going to do different, but now how are you going to do different? When does that different begin? Does it begin today? Does it begin next week after you've gone through a rehab program, after you and your spouse have some time of separation? What you going to do different? And it's the same journey that we ourselves need to hold ourselves accountable to when we find ourselves in our own situations.
Man, that is so good. Guys, I want to hear from you in the comments. I see many of you are loving this already. How do you receive apologies? Remember, Chaplain Benton just broke this down. Is it just I'm sorry? Is it an I'm sorry for? Or are you like me and you need a I'm sorry for, and this is what I will never do to you again, Claudia? And listen, if I'm honest, probably some begging, some pleading, and a full dissertation of your change of spirit. So listen, y'all gotta pray for me. But yeah, let me know in the comments, let us know, how do you receive apologies? How do you give apologies? And that can be, you know, expectation from those in your personal sphere of influence, and not just your expectation for public figures or people that you follow. And while you're doing that, click share. All right. Hey, click share, click the share button so that people can hear what she's talking about. So Chaplain Benton, one of the things that I find very fascinating about the journal in particular is that you are pushing people to move beyond their failure, but in essence, you're basically suggesting that God and a relationship with God is actually a greater force than your failure. What does that mean? How is God a greater force than failure? Because I know, even just for myself, you know, when I have experienced failure, whether, perfect example, you know, I failed my foreign language exam, you know, when I was in my doctoral program. And I mean, the shame and disappointment and just burden and insecurity that just built up, you know, when I failed that exam, it's just so difficult to move beyond those feelings. How is it that God can move you beyond your experiences with failure? How can he move you beyond the thinking that you are a failure? That's really what it is.
I absolutely love that. So, you know, I wrote the journal to develop a system that would enable men and women to take an authentic self-assessment and do this deep dive with God, not just out of the routine to say, I wrote stuff down, but to heal the broken spaces in our lives. It's in the healing of the broken spaces that we're able to re-engage with God and enhance that connection with him, with God, with self, and with community. When we make a mistake, when we find ourselves, you know, incurring failures, first, Claudia, we have to ask ourselves, like, what is my definition of failure? Many of us are holding on to something or an occurrence being a failure, and it's not a failure, right? Failure, quote unquote, is feedback. Many times, a mistake, an occurrence of failure gives us amazing feedback to let us know that our stinking thinking is just that, stinking thinking, or let us know that we were moving to the left, but we really need to be moving to the right, to let us know maybe you're putting too much in and you need to take a step back, or maybe you're not putting enough in and you need to re-engage and push forward, right? Failure is feedback. We also have to understand that failure also gives us an opportunity to be able to realize that it's not our identity. Failure is not our identity. So for myself personally, this book is the journey that God took me on. I had to come to an understanding that because I failed the test, I am not a failure. Because I spoke without thinking that one time, I am not a failure. Because I allowed time and space to get in between my relationship with God, I am not a complete train wreck. These are occurrences. These are decisions. These are situations, but that's not who I am. And when I take time to re-engage in my relationship with God, when I take time to pray and listen, stop all that talking. Sometimes we talk too much, even in our relationship with God. When I take time to stop and listen to what he wants to say, he's able to bring out that reminder that I was created in his image, to the reminder that I am the head and not the tail, to have that reminder that when I am lacking wisdom, that when I seek him, that he will give it to me.
Yeah, absolutely. That is so powerful. I think, so while you were talking, I think one of the questions that came to my mind is when you, particularly when you're talking about the silence, what does it look like to really listen to God? You know, like if, like, I hear what you're saying. God is trying to tell me, Claudia, you are not a failure, that you maybe had a mistake or that you did a failure, and that failure is, the purpose of that failure is to redirect you into something else maybe, or give you feedback, as you said. But how does one quiet themselves and just like sit here silently long enough to hear God actually say something? And how do I hear him? Do I hear him in my head? Do I hear him in script? Like, what, where do I hear this God?
Well, definitely. You know, Claudia, as you're talking, I'm thinking it's all the above. God deals with us all the same, but in different, unique ways. He understands what are the ways that will really grab our attention. For some of us, it is literally in the passive realm, be still and know that I am God. Like, you're literally carving out time. Maybe you get up early in the morning and you're just quiet. You say, Lord, what do you want to say to me today? And you sit quietly and you listen and you keep your ears and your eyes open for the ways in which God wants to deposit into you. Sometimes God says, I need you to actively be still, in terms of you're going to get out there and you're going to go do your normal responsibilities. But in the midst of your day, God will interact with you in a way that he could not have you not been at that position of internally, it's an awareness. It's an openness to look and to see God in nature, see God in your interactions. And so that's, you know, when we intentionally in tune, ask God to attune our hearts and our minds. Listen, it's tough in these streets. It is rough in these streets right now. There are so many distractions. There are so many things that are calling for our attention, right? Whether it's our own personal goals, whether it's our relationship, whether you're a mother or you're a father, right? And you're trying to take care of somebody else, whether it's your career and having to be responsible and engaged with so many things. But in the midst of it all, if we were all honest, man, the way that we're able to move forward with fortitude and renewed strength and insight is when we say, God, help.
Yeah.
Lord, I need you to speak to me and speak to me deeply, right? When somebody offends us, how are you able to move forward without holding on to that resentment? It's when you're asking God, Lord, I need you to first and foremost get in my heart and spirit. Like, speak to me, Father, bring healing to my heart. Remove the sting that causes me to be angry, and God, show me how to move forward. And then I've learned, Claudia, that we got to pray on other people, and you don't come to them praying for it, because the Holy Spirit is the one that does the heart work. I, years ago, watched a video, and there was this co-pastoring couple, husband and wife, and they were both pastors. They said one night they got into a heated argument. I mean, serious, to the point where the husband said, I'm not staying home tonight.
I'm going to the church and I'm gonna sleep in the church. And the wife said he packed up his stuff and was slinging stuff in a bag and he went to the church. And she said, when he left, she said, Lord, I'm upset. I really believe that I was right in this situation, but I don't feel right. So God, if there's anything that I did that caused the angst here, then I'm asking you to forgive me. She said, next, God, I'm asking you to go to my husband. I'm asking you to send the Holy Spirit to speak to my husband and tell my husband what he needs to know and understand about this situation, about me and about our marriage. Third, God, I'm asking you to bring my husband home. She said, an hour passed, silence. 2 hours passed, silence. 3 hours passed, that she got in the bed and said, Lord, I'm trusting you to send the Holy Spirit to speak to my husband and have the conversation with him that I cannot have. She said, 4 hours passed and she heard a turn of the key. She said, he came in and she could still feel like the angst. He came in and was slamming the door and slamming stuff down and got himself ready for bed and just throwing stuff and got in the bed and turned his back to her. She said, Lord, I want to thank you. You brought my husband home. Now I'm asking you to let the Holy Spirit do the heart work. She said, I'm asking that you will show my husband the cross. Show him who he's supposed to be as a man of God. She said, 15 minutes later, he turned over and said, baby, I'm sorry, and began to apologize for her using the vocabulary that showed her that God had done the hard work. I have never forgot that. I heard that before I was married. I internalized that not just for marriage, but for my everyday let me tell you something. I'm praying on my coworkers. I'm praying on people I'm in contact with. I'm praying and God do the hard work. And even in my marriage now, my husband and I, we have learned to adopt this prayer in interacting with each other. And I can't tell you how many times my husband and I, we will have our interactions.
Yeah.
And then I pray that prayer and my husband will come back and he'll talk to me. And I know that it was the Holy Spirit that moves, because when we go through hurts, if we are not intentional about not just getting past it, but intentional about getting healed from it, those hurts begin to build up layers. And all of a sudden you're asking yourself, why am I short with Claudia every time I interact with her? Why is it that every time I hear Claudia's name, I start rolling my eyes or my body start acting funny? It's because you're not healed yet. And God has called us to be healed. It's impossible to be a light. It's impossible to share the gospel if we are not in an intentional space of intentionally every single day surrendering to God and asking God to do that heart work, to do that life work, so that we can be healed and let God be the greater force than failure in our lives.
So you done said a lot. so good. Wow. I know for me, and I appreciate how you're saying this as well, because this is also kind of what I'm hearing, is that it's not only our own failures that keep us from being able to move forward, but it is also the failures that others have done to us that make us stuck. And when we hold on to grudges and when we hold on to hurt and we hold on to memories and we replay and we replay and we replay, I'm talking to myself. You literally keep yourself bound. I feel like that's what I hear you saying, is that you keep yourself bound and unable to actually move forward in what the Lord actually wants you to do. So that forgiveness, this is what, you know, I'm sure you've heard that saying where people say, like, not giving someone forgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. And it's so true, because it's like the forgiveness is for your own spirit.
Yes.
Accepting the failure that they did to you is for your own spirit.
Yes.
This is about how you can get your own mind and your own heart to be able to move beyond the hurt.
Yes.
So, okay. You got some quotes in here. Yes. You got some quotes in here, chap, that I'm gonna be honest. It stressed me out just a bit, a little bit. I'm trying to see if I where is the Charles Spurgeon? Charles Spurgeon said, I tweeted it. That's what I'll do. I'm gonna read this tweet. because this thing messed me up, y'all. I have to read it. Our anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strengths.
Read that one again.
Listen here.
Again.
Our anxiety, saints of the Most High, does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength. Yeah. Man, I don't know how many days I have spent overthinking, allowing my insecurities to well up, allowing myself to just dwell on and ponder the areas of my life where I have failed, the things in my life that I didn't do right or didn't do good enough, or that weren't at the level of excellence that I expected or anticipated for them to be. And you just dwell and you just dwell and you just dwell. And it's like, how do you think that you can produce anything for God when you are just zapping your energy like this? Now talk to me a little bit. Why is it that you have, I mean, every single page, you have either scripture or these kinds of mind-blowing quotes throughout the journal? What do these quotes and these scriptures mean to you? Why do you have them in there like so?
Most definitely. So years ago, I heard someone say that when you wake up in the morning, whatever you focus on the first 20, in the first 20 minutes of your day sets the tone for your perspective. I have always remembered that. And so I filled it with scripture and filled it with positive quotes because I want those who engage in the journal to have their heart and their mind and their spirit filled with concepts and principles that will move them forward, that speak activity, that speak empowerment, that speak I'm not staying stuck, right? Because it's a choice and a decision, but we have to fill our environment, have to fill our heart and mind and spirit with words, with these principles to move forward in order. When we are in a situation where we feel stuck or we're being tempted to move backwards, it's what you have already deposited on the inside that God is able to bring up and use that in that moment of need to move you forward. So it's really important for myself every morning when I get up, as I'm getting dressed, I'm turning on Les Brown. I'm turning on Eric Thomas. I'm turning on Lisa Knowles. I'm turning on Trisha Wynn. I'm turning on Lola Moore. I'm turning on Alicia Jones. I'm turning on people who are speaking truth and who are speaking forward movement so that I can prepare myself. Because again, when we walk out in these streets, you have no idea what you are going to encounter, who's going to say what, these text messages. And you have no idea what negativity is coming for you. And so you have to be prepared to combat that. So in the book, there are quotes, one, to push you forward. There are quotes, two, to cause you to stop and reflect. Because again, you got to be willing, you have to be willing to do the deep work in order to move from where you're at now. Once you acknowledge what's not working, right? If you're procrastinating, you say, I don't want to procrastinate anymore. That's great. You acknowledge, but now you've got to do the deep work of looking at where are the triggers for my procrastination? What is the alarm that goes on inside me where I know I right now I'm going to make a decision either to procrastinate or to do what I'm holding or trying to hold off on doing. You have to know that about yourself so that you can then say, okay, when this situation comes up, what I need to do is, and then Lord, help me in these situations to not procrastinate. Help me to tell the truth. Help me to be a good financial steward. Help me to not be mean and nasty all the time, but to treat everybody else with the same respect I want to be treated with. So,
wow. Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. Like in essence, you're literally saying we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Yes.
But against principalities and powers, so that there has to be some weaponry in our arsenal that is not only natural, but is spiritual.
Yes, in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, and as you were talking, you know, one of the things that came to my mind, you know, even in going through the journal, guys, you know, I really want to encourage you to do this and get this because it is great reflect. It's great and necessary personal reflection that will cause you to rethink your motives, to rethink why you're doing what you're doing, to rethink what got you to doing what you're doing. One of the questions that you ask on one of those, on not one of the days, but one of the questions that you ask is, where in your life are there inconsistencies?
Yes. Listen, saints
of the Most High. That question right there, where in your life are there inconsistencies? In other words, just like Derek Jackson, where are you and where in your life? Everyone is worried about Derek. I need you to get off Derek for 2 seconds. Where in your life are you preaching and talking about relationships and fidelity and love and marriage while still cheating on your wife?
I see.
Where are your inconsistencies in your life and in your walk? And unless you do that work, you too will find yourself a hypocrite. You too will find yourself unable to do what you've been called to do. And I think, you know, even as you were just talking right now, one of the things I struggle with when it comes to procrastination is I am a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. Horrible perfectionist to a horrible fault, Chaplain Benton, because I'm the type of person that if it's not absolutely perfect to my standard of perfection, then it will not go out. I don't care what you need. God be praised. It's not going to go out. But because in life we have what are called deadlines. So it doesn't really matter. Like something has to go out at a particular date and time. Mm-hmm. What ends up happening is I will rob myself of sleep, or I will rob myself of eating or eating healthy, or I will rob myself of whatever is actually healthy and necessary for my own benefit. Yes. Because it has to be right. And not only that, but because it has to be so right in my head, sometimes I won't start it for weeks on end, because it's like, it has to be so right. I don't even know the pathway to get to that level of excellence. So I procrastinate. Right. And so it's like, just like she's talking about, guys, you know, I love coming on here and just telling y'all all my business to help you out, because you have to be able to identify, okay, man, this is why I'm doing this. This is when I do this. These are the triggers that are causing me to do this. And now here are the things, as you talk about in the journal, the lessons learned.
Yes.
Right. Like, here are now the things that I'm going to do differently so that when these feelings arise, I do not respond that way. So one of the things that I have started to do now with my procrastination and my perfectionism is I will mentally say, when the thought comes to me, perfect, your standard is unattainable. I have to say that for me. I don't know, this might not work for y'all. I just have to say this for me. Claudia, what you are wanting to accomplish is not attainable. What I need you to just do right now is your best. Just remove these thoughts out of your mind and just produce your best. And usually I'm able to produce my best.
Yes.
I'm able to approach the task, complete the task, and it usually gets the response that I am wanting or expecting or what have you, without all of the, you know, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m. sleepless nights. Yo, so what is that practical work for you? How does one find the lessons? How does one find that?
I love that. So on page 35 in the journal, there's a quote there. And it's as we start the chapter, Established Lessons Learned, is ultimately, there is no such thing as failure. There are lessons learned in different ways.
Yeah, I love that too.
We start with our perception, again, about what is failure, right? If we can acknowledge that there is no such thing as failure, there's lessons learned in different ways, and when we find ourselves in these moments or occurrences, and we're asking this question, then the first question is not how did I fail, but what lesson am I learning in this season of my life or in this situation, right? What ask you, those of you who are watching, ask you, what lessons have you learned through your trials? Come on now. I know there are many trials that we all have faced. Go ahead and just put in the chat. Be honest.
Yes. There's
a conversation here. What lessons, what's a lesson that you have learned through your trials, right? Because whenever a mistake is made, this is a military term that I love, it's always an opportunity for course correction. Always an opportunity. And course correction doesn't mean that it has to be negative. It's not negative. When I'm learning a lesson, I am doing something that's going to speak life to me internally and externally. I'm doing something that's going to cause me to step up on a different platform and have more room and more space, get away from the baggage that's holding me back. When we establish lessons learned, we learn several things. Number one, you learn that you can adjust.
That's good.
Given us the wonderful ability to think. He's given us the ability to adjust, right? You learn that you can accept. You can accept responsibility. You can accept the facts. You may not like what happened. You may not like the end result, but you can accept it as fact that it happened. You can understand. God has given you the mind to will you can process and understand what is happening. Understanding and knowledge is always half the battle right there.
Wow.
And you can wait. Many times we get frustrated and we don't like to ask questions because we don't want to wait. We don't want to go through the process. We want everything to be fixed and resolved right now. But that's not how life happens. You have to be willing to do the hard work and take the time that it's going to take. Your occurrence, many of our mistakes, they didn't just happen overnight.
Yeah,
you get that mindset overnight. You didn't just decide all of a sudden that you were going to go ahead and, you know, do X, Y, and Z. It took some time. Scientifically, they say that before there is a violation or a negative occurrence in our life, before it happens, you gave yourself permission. Somewhere in your mind, you told yourself that it would be okay if you were in a certain situation, then it would be okay to do that thing that you know is not right to do. So you have to go back and be willing to sit down and have that authentic conversation with yourself and that authentic conversation with God and say, what is the root that's happening here? And then finally, because I hear myself talking, sorry, but many times if you've ever heard me preach, there's something that I like to put in many of my sermons because I think it's something practical for us to think about and consider as we're navigating life with God. Number one, God uses our problems many times to direct us.
Yes.
So because we're looking at this thorn in our flesh as though it is hell sent, and God sometimes will allow us to have that thorn in our flesh to simply direct us. Sometimes God must light a fire under us to get us moving.
That's good.
And point us in a new direction and will motivate us. God uses our problems to inspect us. You and I, Claudia, people, we are like tea bags. If you want to know what's really inside somebody, if you really want to know somebody's character, drop them in hot water. See them in the midst of the situation. That's where you really get to see if they are sold out for Jesus or not, right?
Yes.
God tested your faith with a problem. You're watching right now. Has God been testing your faith with a problem? Well, James 1:2-3 says, when you have many kinds of troubles, you should be full of joy because you know that these troubles test your faith and will give you patience if you allow it, Carly. God uses problems to correct us.
Yes.
Sometimes we only learn through pain and failure. And I'm being honest with you, Claudia, like right now, I'm in that season of my life. I'm like, Lord, I don't need the pain and the failure. This is why I'm spending intentional time with God. Help me to learn what I need to learn, what I need to hear you say. Let me learn it now. But sometimes God will allow us to have these problems to correct us. God uses our problems to protect us. Ooh, mercy. A problem can sometimes be a blessing in disguise if it prevents us from being harmed by something more serious. How many of you have ever been in a relationship with somebody? That person broke up with you at the time you were crying and boo-hooing. I don't understand. I feel rejected. And later on, you saying, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Father, that they left me. Thank you, Father, that they rejected me. Thank you, Jesus. And finally, God uses problems to perfect us. The Bible talks about that refiner's fire, right? God is far more interested in our character than our comfort. I'm going to say that again. God is far more interested in our character than our comfort.
Come on.
Our relationship to God and our character are the only two things that we're going to take with us to eternity.
That's it.
So rejoice when you find yourselves with these situations. Rejoice not at the situation, but rejoice because of the God of the situation, who will develop strength and character in you and who brings the healing that you need so that you can walk forward faithfully, strong and steady. But you have to be willing to let God be that greater force in your life.
Woo! If you didn't preach it how you felt it. Oh, listen, the church doors are open, y'all.
Is there one?
The first one is me, okay?
This is my life journey. You know, I've had to cry those tears, and I've found myself, I've been prostrate on my floor with my hands just saying, God, I can't, Lord, I don't understand. Father, I feel so forsaken. You know, we're living in a day and age where there's sexism and there's racism and there's classism. You can't fight against those things on your own. You got to have the armor of God, like morning, noon, night, in order to walk into a space and place where you're the only one, you're the only person or minority, you're the only person of your gender, and to still understand that God created you, God allowed you to be in that space and place, and you bring something unique to the room. And even if they don't understand it, you understand it because God has brought you. You're only able to get through by being in tandem with God.
That's it.
This right now, I want to invite you and encourage you, even right now, just cry out to God and just say, Lord, heal me. In order to understand who God is, in order to be that citizen who's preparing for heaven, like, we have to have healing on an everyday basis. You have got to be at that place where you're saying, Lord, I refuse to walk around with anger and bitterness. I don't know how I am going to get healing from this situation. And remember, healing doesn't mean you give that person a pass. Healing doesn't mean that you give that person the okay to go ahead and hurt you. But healing means that you are not going to internalize it in such a way where it causes you to be stuck, where it causes you to be bitter and to be angry. You're going to be aware. You're going to be aware, but you're not going to be bitter and angry. And that only comes through one being authentic with yourself. Why am I angry with Claudia? Well, what is it about what she said that hurt me? And is my hurt because she said it, or is my hurt because of my expectation? Is my hurt because of my fear of losing control, or my fear of being rejected? You got to have that clarity. And then, Lord, you see what's going on inside me. You see, God, I am challenged because I want to fit in. And when Claudia made that statement, I felt like I was pushed to the outskirts. God, bring healing. And Lord, I'm also asking that you will minister to Claudia and give Claudia the words that she needs to speak when she speaks to me. Give her, even in her sleep, Lord, put me in her heart and mind, and you show her how to treat me. And and this is the last thing I'm going to say. One last thing. Many times we give people control that they don't need to have. I read a quote one day that said, when I meet you, I teach you how to treat me. But I can't teach you how to treat me the way I need to be treated if I don't understand who I am. If I don't understand what makes me laugh, if I don't understand what makes me cry. This is why we have to sit and do the hard work.
Yes.
We have to sit and do the journey and sit and do the praying and sit and being quiet and listening to God so that I can understand who I am and who he's called me to be, so I can walk forward confidently in that, in spite of, or as a result of, or in the midst of.
Yes.
It comes when I sit down and I'm quiet and I let God in, and I receive, and then let him be the one to recycle and take it back out.
Chaplain Benton, this has just been so inspiring, so healing, even for me. I know so many have been in the comments saying similarly, as we close, I want to give you the opportunity to share personally, what failure have you experienced that you feel like God showed you that he was a greater force than failure? What's your story behind this journal?
Most definitely. So, you know, it was mentioned earlier that I am the first Seventh-day Adventist female chaplain for the Navy, right? It's wonderful. It comes with a journey. And, you know, part of where I had failed initially in my career, when I went to my very first meeting, there was somebody, and he was well-meaning. There was somebody who said to me, listen, I need you to understand that every room that you walk into, you got several strikes against you from the very beginning. And you know what he was talking about? I was a female and that I was Black. Unfortunately, I bought into it. I didn't totally understand who God had called me to be in that space and place, right? I didn't have the courage to stand up and say no. So I bought into that and I began to walk around with a chip on my shoulder. I began to walk around being guarded and defensive. I spent at least 2 years being guarded and defensive, missing out on the opportunities that God literally had been placing all around me because I was trying to protect myself. I did not always show the love of Christ because of my attitude. I wasn't always open. I wasn't approachable. I was not the light that God had really intended me to be until one day I said, God, I can't. It began to feel too weighty, too costly. I was always guarded, defensive, broken. I wasn't being authentically Adrian. And one day I said, God, help me. I can't do this anymore. And said, God said, I didn't call you to do it all. I called you to understand that you are where you are because I placed you there. I called you to understand that you are my daughter. And when you surrender to me, I will. Don't worry about who says you. What you bring to the table, every space you go is uniqueness. Yes, you're female. Yes, you're Black American. That's awesome. You're bringing a different mentality and perspective that nobody else in that room is going to have. You have the ability to bring in life even if they don't recognize it. And so as God and I process through the word of God, as God and I process through being able to listen to motivational quotes and ask, then I begin to grow in my courage and understanding of who God had called me to be. And I'm getting to anybody who is watching right now live or on the replay, I want to invite you to pause passively and pause actively. Actively means even as you're going about your day, set your awareness in your heart and your mind and spirit for those God moments. Ask God to speak to you as you're moving forward. Passively means you literally sit down and get still. Carve out some time. You and God know what your day and your life is really like. So whether it's 5 minutes or whether it's 60 minutes, every single day, open your mind, your heart, and your space to, Lord, I want to receive from you. Because this world is not our home. This world is not our home. And if we are so full and thick of all the dramas and all those things, man, you're not ready for heaven. You're not ready to live in that new earth. You're not ready to live in that new heaven with your Lord and say for eternity. I don't know about you, but I want to live with God for eternity. So even now in the midst of, I'm asking God, Lord, create in me a clean heart. God, fill me with your presence. Be in my life, be in my walk, be in my talk. And in those moments where I'm failing, God, protect me, put a barrier around me so that others are not impacted in a way that goes against what you want. And believe and trust that God will do it for you.
Wow. Chaplain Benton, we typically don't do this on the show, but I'm feeling so impressed by the Holy Spirit right now. If you could please just pray over those that are watching and that will watch this. I really feel as though the Holy Spirit is moving and trying to get into the hearts and minds of people. I know that he is moving even in on me right now. And I really believe that there is something that the Spirit is trying to break. And that there are burdens and strongholds of failure and insecurity and shame and guilt that are on people that is preventing them from being the kingdom builders that God has created them to be. And so if you don't mind, just please pray for them. And then when you are done, please talk to us about how we can follow your ministry, get our hands on this journal, and just follow you and pray for you.
Praise God. Let's pray together, community. Father, we want to thank you so much for this time and space that we have to come together virtually, Lord. It's not by chance or coincidence, Father, for the season in which we're living in right now. We need you. And right now we're praying for every man and woman who is watching live and on the replay in the name of Jesus. God, create in us a clean heart. We're asking that you will renew within us a right spirit. I'm asking, God, that today, whatever the day is for every individual, today, Lord God, before everybody puts their head in their pillow on their bed to literally fall asleep, then you will have a communion time with each of us. Yes. I'm asking God that you will bathe us, envelope us in your presence. I'm asking that you will cause us to be able to stop and have authentic conversations with you. Shine the light on who we really are, Lord, not for the purpose of punishment or for the purpose of negativity, but for the purpose of growth, for the purpose of healing. Right now, God, we call out to you everything that is in our lives in which we need healing from. You can do it. And we know you said in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer and show you great and mighty things you know not of. So as we're calling out to you, God, we're asking that you will give us the strength and the courage to lay in your hands all those sins that beset us, those things that we're having a hard time getting over. We're giving to you the anger. We're giving to you the pain. We're giving to you the resentment. We're giving to you the bitterness. We're giving to you the rejection. And we're asking that you will fill us with the fruits of the Spirit. Fill us with your love and your compassion and your gentleness. Help us to be truth seekers, Lord God, and truth givers. Help us to be men and women that allow the glory of God to shine on us, Lord God. And if there's any areas in our life where there's low self-esteem, we rebuke that right now in the name of Jesus. We call out depression and we call out anxiety. We call out fear and frustration, Lord God, and ask that you will rebuke and remove those demonic forces and the strongholds that they have been able to have on our lives. We need you, and we're crying out, Father, help us. Yes. And we end this prayer, Lord God, saying thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you in advance for the chains that are being broken even now. Thank you in advance for raising up a standard against the enemy in a permanent manner, Lord God. Thank you that no weapon formed against any of your children will prosper. And Lord, allow us to all come to that place where we desire and we move forward with being in relationship with you. You're coming again, Lord God, and we want to live with you for eternity. So even now, Father, fill us with your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Family, you know, I want to thank you again for joining in with us today. The ways in which you can support is Facebook Forward Movement Ministries is our Facebook page. Please definitely go there and like the page. On YouTube, Adrian Townsend Benton. I'm just really getting started in this whole social media thing. So anything you can do to like and to share so that we can get the message out to the world, that would be great. On Instagram, it's FM_ministries. Definitely follow us there. And then by God's grace, the journal, A Greater Force Than Failure. So you can really help me in two ways. We just published it in December and really trying to get it out. You can go to my website, forwardmovementministries.org. You can purchase the journal there, or you can go on Amazon. On Amazon, you will find the journal in the paperback and also the Kindle version. It's there right now. And then the book was submitted for an award, the Author Elite Award 2021. However, what we need is we need people to go in and vote into the nonfiction religious section. And so how you can do it, you can go right now, authorelitewards.com. You can go to that page right now. When you go there, you want to click on the vote button. You hit the vote button, you scroll down, you will see some options. It will give you pages 1 to 12, and you're gonna click and go to page 10. Page 10 is the religious nonfiction section. You will see a picture of the journal, A Greater Force Than Failure. When you click on the picture, that counts as a vote. I need you to share this with everybody, please. AuthorEliteAwards.com. Page 10 in the voting section, A Greater Force Than Failure, being able to be submitted and in the name of Jesus receive the award again will give us an opportunity to have global impact where we are communicating with the world about what it means to be resilient and what it means to allow God to be the greater force in our lives.
Man, Chaplain Benton, thank you so much for that. Everybody, I really want to make sure that you do all of that. I'm so grateful to Robert, our AV specialist. He put all of that on the screen so you all got a chance to walk through that. Make sure that you take that time, even right now, go ahead and get off when we end this podcast, go ahead on over there and make sure that you go to page 10, the nonfiction religious section, and make sure that you vote for a force greater than failure. Chaplain Bennett, thank you so much for joining us. This was such, I really don't have words to express to you what this episode just was. I know just for me, and to everyone who was watching today, thank you so much. All of you, listen, we've got so many amazing things happening right here at Message Magazine. As you know, you can get our bi-monthly magazine in print or get our digital magazine. So make sure that you head on over to www.messagemagazine.com, www.messagemagazine.com, and get your copy of the print or digital magazine today. But you can also send us your email and make sure that you're getting our weekly newsletters. Our weekly newsletters come out, and that's where you can read many of the articles. You can watch these episodes on our YouTube channel. We try to put as much content on there as possible as well. So we've got online content that comes out in our weekly newsletter that you want to make sure you're getting. But I really want to promote you guys getting subscribed to Message, because we've got a new issue coming out on toxic faith and the ways in which toxic faith is impacting, right? We see so often that toxic faith is causing people to engage in relationships in unhealthy ways. Toxic faith is the producer of racism and white supremacy. Toxic faith is what has people out here buying guns and engaging in mass shootings for a variety of reasons, all because there is this misunderstanding about who God is and about what God says about himself in scripture. And so if you really want to learn more about toxic faith, then you've got to make sure that you get our upcoming issue. This next issue, the May, June issue, is going to be on toxic faith, and you do not want to miss it. All right. So make sure that you're subscribed to the magazine, get your print or digital copy, make sure that you are getting the newsletter, and make sure that you're following us on Instagram and Twitter at Message1898. Now, I am so excited because I just realized today that we have 14,000 followers right here on Facebook. That is amazing. I love it. Listen, I still only have 13,500 likes though. Listen, y'all know I share vulnerably here every week. All right. I need you to up the likes. I need you to share the page. I need you to share the content, whatever you're seeing from Message. I need you to like and share. I need you to comment. I need you to engage. I need you to get this and drop links to as many people as you know, so that we can get our likes up. It's when you get the likes up that you start getting the notifications, and Facebook will tell you what we're doing. So don't just follow Message, like the Facebook page. So like our Facebook page, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Message1898, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. I think that's all the updates now. We will see you guys next week. Next week is going to be Easter. And so I'm so excited. We are going to have a phenomenal guest next week to talk through the theology and the passion and the experience of Easter. So stay tuned for that. I'm excited to let you know who that person will be. All right. So until next time, I will see you next week. Same time, same place, just a different conversation. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.